This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, Roger Waldron.
Today, my guest is Mary Davey. Mary is the Assistant Commissioner for the Integrated Technology Service at the Federal Acquisition Service, which is part of the General Services Administration, and that was a mouthful. But Mary, welcome to the show.
Thank you. There's a lot of service in there.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. And Mary, you know, it's great to have you on the show today. I know I've been trying to get you on for a while. I'm glad you could come in, but it's, I think, perfect timing because now you've been in your new job as Assistant Commissioner for a little bit over 6 months, and I guess my first question for you is, you know, what have you found? What have you learned? And what has surprised you? Just run the gamut. Tell us about your new job and what your impressions are so far.
Okay, so yeah, it has been about 6 months. Been with GSA for 22 years and spent a lot of that career in programs that worked in and around what is now the Integrated Technology Services, which, you know, comprises GSA's Schedule 70 program, the IT schedules, the GWACS, the Network Services Program, and another group we call Strategic Solutions, which I'll talk about. But I can tell you, since having come on board in the last 6 months and working directly in that program, you talk about surprising. You know, it's a enormous portfolio. I call it ginormous, as a matter of fact, in terms of what
we do. How many billions of dollars? I'm going to put you
24.
On
24.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I knew you'd have the answer.
Yeah, of course. You know, I got to pay attention to these numbers, right?
That's right.
A little bit. But, you know, it's really more about how we are delivering value to the customers and in what way, and not just about the dollars, obviously.
Yeah, well, the dollars come with value, right? If you demonstrate, you know, that you provide value to your customer agencies and to industry as well as that, you know, business framework for government and industry, you know, partnership. People will use your programs, and that $24 billion become $34 billion before
right.
you know it, right?
And it's, you know, about the taxpayer dollar and the value. And
right. So when you got into the job, what was sort of, what have you done? Have you done a top-down review of, you know, your programs and taken a look at them?
Spent a good portion of the last 6 months learning, and that is, you know, specifically learning the ins and outs of each of those business areas. Network services was probably the area that was newer to me or newest to me, an area that I had not worked directly in. The 22 years is IT for me.
Right, and network services is...
So that's our telecommunications right. program, both national, the networks, contracts, things that people think about when they think about, you know, long-distance service, voice service, data services. Of course, now voice over IP, things like trusted internet, managed network services, things like that. And then there's a regional component as well. And also within that program, we have the satellite services contracts that we're doing with DISA. We're doing the Federal Strategic Sourcing Initiative wireless contract. So it really runs the gamut, but provides, you know, end-to-end solutions in telecommunications for the federal customer. And that's an area that I really did need to spend quite a bit of time in, particularly now as we're, you know, still going through transition
right.
in government on the networks contracts.
Yeah, and with regard to that particular program, what have you learned or what has surprised you with regard to networks that you know that you didn't know before and you think makes a big difference?
How different it is in the way that people procure and the way that they need to and do run these programs compared to what we do on the IT side and the complexity. So, you know, if you think about these networks contracts were awarded in 07 and we're still transitioning, you know, 4 years later, the first question that came to my mind and I still question is, you know, why?
Right.
Why is this
right.
so hard? Why does it take so long? What can we do, GSA, to really, and this is what I keep saying, is decrease the focus on the contract transition and provide opportunities for people to do transition on their technology when they need to upgrade, when they need to evolve, what solutions can ITS offer to them to do that? And in my mind, it goes beyond the network services business line. We've got IT schedules. We've got GWACs. We have, you know, what we're now calling strategic solutions. The cloud BPA is an example. Data center consolidation solutions. So it really is about what ITS can do to deliver as a portfolio rather than what each of those independent business lines can do. And that's the way that I've been looking at this program and really trying to put that integrated back into the portfolio.
Yeah, that you just did great mind think alike. I was just about to say you're trying to make it integrated, like the title of your organization. You know, one thing I also wanted to, you know, ask you about, well, there could be many topic areas today. I've got you for the whole hour. But you're one of the biggest advocates for communication between government industry. I mean, I think you even tweeted today that you're coming here with you.
That's right.
To be on the show. So, you know, can you talk about why you're so focused on that and what you the difference you think it can make?
Yes, and we could talk about that for the next hour, if you like.
Okay, that's fine. It's fine by me.
Okay.
And I'll make sure I'll tweet it.
So okay? Here we are. So I think, you know, with how popular and available collaborative technology has become, and it's becoming a part of people's daily lives and their personal, and now, you know, in business and governments really embraced it. It really, a couple of years ago, struck me, again, having spent 22, 23 years in the IT community doing acquisition and really working in GSA, where we serve every agency and get to see a whole bunch of different procurements and work on different challenges and work with different agencies, I thought that we should really take advantage of the collaborative technology and at least bring government folks together to provide a common way and an ability for people to get to know each other, to learn what they're doing in their agencies, to be able to share information. So that all started a couple of years ago. We used GovLoop as that platform.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then I wanted to pull industry in because industry is obviously responding and working with all these different agencies and have their challenges, but also have a lot of things that they can offer based on what's worked. And I really wanted to establish that platform to get that dialogue really going and to bring visibility into things. I just thought it was so important that we're all working so hard, heads down, and you talk about the strained acquisition workforce and how complex, you know, the requirements are getting. So why not try to share and talk with each other? And that just sort of then evolved into the Better Buy project, and now, you know, the work that OMB is doing with MythBusters, trying to bring people to the table.
I was going to ask you, have you talked to Dan Borden?
Oh, yeah.
About what you've been up to?
Right, and you know, it really is about communication, and so we have extensively used the what we call the Better Buy Wiki in FAS to put requirements out there, put RFIs out there, ask about acquisition strategy, and just get feedback. And now that I'm in ITS and we do a whole lot of, you know, contracts, whether it's something like, you know, a new GWAC or whether it's the FSSI, you know, wireless or smart buy, everything we do is going to be posted on that wiki or a tool like that so that we can share with the world and get, you know, help.
Right. Feedback from industry.
Yeah. And the one thing we noticed on the FSSI wireless contract was we got more government input and response than we had before. And I was really pleased with that because it's the government customer we're trying to serve.
Right. And it seems to me that's real to people, I guess. I remember when I was in government and I worked with you for a large part of those 20 years. But, you know, people walk around with their BlackBerry or their cell phones. That's in a certain sense almost personal to them,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think you probably would get a lot of feedback when you start talking wireless and what you're going to do and that sort of thing.
Yeah. You know, so this we're into this sort of the second evolution of this wireless program. And we had one customer agency who was just thrilled with the first one and really wanted the second one to look a lot like the first one and then add some things to it. And came in and gave us a pitch about, you know, why this was really important to them. And I said, would you mind putting that on the wiki?
Yeah,
you know, can you let everybody see that and everybody comment on that? And so we get ideas on that wiki that obviously are not things that, you know, industry would put on there that they would consider sensitive or giving away their intellectual property or competitive advantage. That's not what we're asking for. It's just about help us shape the requirement. Are there things we haven't thought about? Are there things the agencies would like to see included?
Right. And I think it's a big benefit for industry just to put that stuff up there so that they get thinking about, you know, what the government customers really thinks is a valuable to them. Right. And okay, so that I have to figure out how gives me some dynamic or feel for what's going on and where the market's going with regard to government requirements.
Right.
It's got to be a good thing for industry.
And small business.
Just to listen in a certain sense.
Yes,
yeah,
right. To see exactly. Small business has said that they really like it because they don't have the resources to go and knock on these doors and find out where everything's going. And so now there's a very public place for them to take a real quick look, see the direction it's heading, and make the decision to pursue it to team, you know, or not.
Right. And right now, the direction we're heading is to a break, Mary.
Thank you,
so
Roger.
So right now, we do have to take a break. But right now, we've been talking to Mary Davey. Mary and I are talking about ITS and where things are going. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Okay, I'm going to retape that last piece because I screwed it up. And they see they can do magic. They can cut these things and sort of thing. So
I'm going to turn this off while you do that.
No, it's fine. Mary, the direction we're going right now is towards a break. And we do have to take a break. But when we return, we'll be talking more with Mary Davey, Assistant Commissioner for the Integrated Technology Service at the Federal Acquisition Service, GSA. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Every day, men and women across America try to make the transition from wearing the uniform of our armed services to wearing the varied attire of the private sector or civil service workforce. The Coalition for Government Procurement tries to make that transition easier through its Wounded Veteran Training Program Fund, bringing employers and nonprofit organizations together with one united goal, putting veterans to work. There is no nobler task. Each year, the Coalition presents a golf tournament to bring employers together with organizations dedicated to placing vets in the workforce through cooperative efforts. This year, the Coalition's tournament is August 31st at Whiskey Creek Golf Course. Please consider joining the Coalition, its membership, and others for a fun day of golf, all for a great cause. For more information on playing or sponsoring this worthwhile event, visit thecgp.org or call Roger Waldron at 202-331-0975. That's August 31st at Whiskey Creek Golf Course. See you there.
MEADS, the Medium Extended Air Defense System, is covering new ground in air and missile defense. 8 times more ground to be exact, which means it will protect more troops on the ground and keep more dollars in the budget. MEADS has the advanced capabilities and reliability that the 40-year-old Patriot system cannot provide. And it will cost half as much to man and maintain versus upgrading Patriot, which is already costing U.S. taxpayers billions of dollars. MEADS 360-degree coverage defends 8 times more area using fewer assets and has the lethality to defeat advanced threats by being more mobile and agile. Defending more, costing less. Only MEADS covers it all. For more information about the MEADS program, go to MEADS-AMD.com. That's MEADS-AMD.com.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit MatrixDirect.com.
Sometimes I worry about what would happen to my family if I lost my job, but I never really thought about what would happen to them if they lost me. And I didn't have life insurance. My cousin's husband died, and now she might have to sell her house just to make ends meet. I don't ever want to put my wife through that. So I called Matrix Direct.
Hi, I'm Brent Langdon for Matrix Direct. We partnered with American General Life to find you their lowest rates on term life insurance products. If you're 40 years old and married, we could find you a $250,000 policy for less than $16 a month. Call now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-588-5514.
I feel so much better now that I called.
It only takes 5 minutes to see how you could save up to 70%. Call now. 1-800-588-5514. 1-800-588-5514. 5514.
Join host Michael Keegan next week for the Business of Government magazine, a special edition of the Business of Government Hour. What are the 7 management imperatives all government executives need to follow? What is FAA's next generation air transportation system? How is New York City shaping a government that is customer focused, innovative, and more efficient? How is DOD improving its business operations? And what about power, security, and leadership in the 21st century? Tune into the Business of Government magazine next week and find out.
You may have a big heart, but do you have a strong heart? Balanced nutrition and exercise with regular checkups help build a strong heart. A strong, healthy heart lets you share your big heart with those you love.
Hi, I'm Congresswoman Donna Edwards. Make healthy choices to maintain a strong heart. Eat lots of fruits, vegetables, and whole grains, and stay active by biking or walking 5 days a week.
This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my mom.
I'd probably talk about girls.
We'd probably talk about girls.
Anything, boys, school, clothes.
You'd be amazed at what they'll talk about if you give them the chance.
If I had a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If it were a real heart-to-heart, I'd tell my parents what I'm going through.
I'd probably talk to him about growing up.
I'd probably tell my dad that I wish we'd do more stuff together.
I don't think it has to be a heart-to-heart. I just want to talk.
Give your family everything. Give them your time. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The men and women of our National Guard and Reserve Forces are working hard on the battlefield and here at home. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve is working just as hard for them. For over 36 years, ESGR has paved the way for greater understanding between our Guard and Reserve Forces and their civilian employers, promoting a culture where all American employers support and honor the military service of their employees. Together, we all serve. To learn more, visit www.esgr.mil.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are talking to Mary Davey, Assistant Commissioner for the Integrated Technology Service at GSA. And we've been talking about, yeah, transparency, openness, communication with government. And when we were talking, Mary, you mentioned the wireless federal strategic sourcing initiative and what you started talking about a little bit, what some of the communication you've had around that. Can you tell us a little bit more about that program?
Yep, I sure will. And one of the things I wanted to mention in the beginning when you asked me about sort of my impressions of this portfolio, and I maybe could even ask you, but I think some of the impressions that people in general have about our portfolio is it's just a giant place where there's a lot of IT contracts. And so in the past, people think, well, they put out all these contracts and people can come and use them, like the schedules and, you know, GWACs. And there's varying levels of assistance that we provide in those contracts. And one of the things that I really want to do is try to figure out what level of assistance our customers really need when they use these instruments. So if we've got a spectrum of schedules, they're out there, people come use them, all the way to things now like the Federal Strategic Sourcing Initiative wireless contract, where agencies are sitting with us at the table defining requirements. And that's, again, falls in that strategic solutions bucket, which we are seeing more and more interest from participation with other agencies to do things like FSSI, the cloud BPAs. It's all agencies at the table saying, this is what we need. And what I'm seeing are agencies, you know, I think part of it is some of the budget cut stuff.
Sure.
Part of it probably is the need to say, you know, we really shouldn't be, or we can't be doing this on our own anymore. It doesn't make sense for everybody to be doing their own thing. So let's, you know, at least try to come together across government and work on these things jointly. Yeah,
that's a big issue for me, contract duplication.
Yeah.
There's way too much of it. And I know it costs government too much money in terms of duplicative, you know, contract administration, any, you know, and acquisition costs in it. Costs government, I mean, in industry, a great deal of funds in terms of bid and proposal costs, which there's limited pools of that, and additional overhead to manage, you know, the various contracts they have when you could have it much more focused and strategic.
Yeah. So. And when you look at IT stuff, I mean, really, and I say this about our portfolio, you probably can cover about 80% of what you need through common solutions. And so when you look at things like wireless, and we got the agencies to sit down with us and say, okay, guys, here's where we've been, because this started 5 years ago, this thought about strategic sourcing and government. And we've really evolved over time with some of the other programs like the Office Supplies Program, the Express Ground Domestic Delivery Services Program, and we're learning. And we continue to improve. And a large part of that is agencies who come and they come with information. What are we spending in this area? And, you know, what are we spending it on? And where do we really want to be? What kind of things do we want to target for savings? Is it the kinds of devices we have out there? Is it how much we're spending? Is it the plans? Is it the management? Is it incorrect billing? All of those things we talk about. And that's what they're bringing, is that kind of information and that kind of need that we can then structure something that would serve, you know, the broader government.
Right. And with regard to wireless, is one of the biggest challenges you have, just, I mean, I'm just thinking anecdotally when I was back in government, is really getting a handle on how many phones are out there, yeah, and just
how many,
that inventory.
Who's got them? What the plans look like?
Right.
Who's managing the plans? You know, are we really going, are we paying attention to the bills? Are we going after credits? Are we turning devices off when people leave? Those are the kinds of things. And, you know, again, you see sort of the spectrum of very proactive understanding and management. And in other cases, I don't really know. And we would like to get our arms around it and look at, you know, the kinds of savings that we can achieve, and also just, you know, better management and efficiency of these things.
But aren't there instances where some agencies may have, who knows how many, literally thousands of individual contracts for the phones, as opposed to, you know, something that's much more disciplined approach?
Yeah,
and they
think,
have no idea how many phones they actually have.
So
right?
That's a good point. My notes here say.
Oh, okay. Notes, referring
some,
to notes.
I've got some data.
Mary, you're
I didn't want to
now.
Just talk
you're
off
cheating.
The cuff. So it looks like in government, what we found, based on what we know, we don't know everything.
Okay.
Thousands of contracts exist with the top four carriers that address 90% of the federal market. So think about how dispersed our leverage is. If we just said, okay, we know that there's four carriers and we have thousands of contracts with them. And in some agencies, there's, you know, more than one.
Mm-hmm.
What we could even do to just, and as you said, the impact, you know, to that company who now has to manage less contracts and less or a decreased variety of arrangements.
Right, exactly.
Because who knows what all the terms and conditions look like.
Right. That's the problem with contract duplication, is you get multiple contracts. They may be for similar or the same services, but they have a host of different contract terms, which frankly increases the contractor's costs. And who ultimately pays that cost? It's the customer.
Yes.
I mean, you know, and who's the ultimate customer in this case? It's the
taxpayer.
So.
And we're all one.
Yeah, right. So, if we can do anything about contract duplication, that would be a wonderful thing. Another strategic sourcing sort of initiative that's been around for a long time, and I know it's part of your responsibility, you know, in terms of GSA, is the Smart Buy program. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I can. Smart Buy has been around for a while, and it probably was one of the original strategic sourcing programs, along with, you know, our networks program, where agencies are working to define the requirements. But what we worked very closely and still are with DOD on that program, and it's to go after categories of software to drive prices down significantly. And we reached a milestone recently in that we had $1 billion in cost savings, if you benchmark off just, you know, the GSA schedule price that we've been able to achieve through that program. So when we were looking for opportunities working with OMB for Federal Strategic Sourcing Initiative, we thought, well, this is an FSSI initiative. Let's bring it under the auspices and the umbrella of that program and manage it and run it under the CAO Council, under the Strategic Sourcing Working Group, and continue to evolve it a bit further, identify additional categories that government wants to go after. And we've just had incredible reception and participation on this. Really thrilled with the way that this one's going.
Yeah, and I think one of the things, because I'm a little bit familiar with Smart Buy, I was at GSA and worked on it a little bit, but I think one of the things that's one of the keys to the success of that is that there's that it is a situation where you're getting additional savings, but there's also, it seems to me, some commitments or an understanding that there is, you know, revenue for the companies as well. So it's got to be a win-win situation in order for something to really work.
Yeah, commitment is key. And I think one of the advantages this program had was it's mandatory. So we don't want everything to be mandatory, but what we are saying to the agencies is we need your commitment to get a better price going forward. And we've worked really hard all the way up to, you know, deputy secretary level to talk about these programs and ask for commitment and participation. And of course, they're not just going to commit to something until they know what it looks like and if it's actually going to meet their need. But we're saying if you're at the table with us, helping us define, develop, and shape it, then it should meet your need. And we'd like the commitment so that we can then go to the industry and say, this is a true aggregated leveraged buy on behalf of government. We will commit to you that this will be the vehicle of choice or the vehicle that would meet most of the government's needs, and the spend will flow through. So it gives us a better position to negotiate and industry a better understanding of what we're looking for.
Right. And you indicate, did you say there was $1 billion?
$1 billion in savings off right. Smart Buy so far.
Right. That's pretty amazing.
It is.
And are those, most of those Smart Buy vehicles, are those blanket purchase agreements off the GSA?
They're off schedule. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the schedules are a great, and BPAs off schedules are a great platform for strategic sourcing. But I think I think we both agree that commitment part is key in terms of, there's got to be incentive for the private sector to provide better pricing. And the real incentive is what, if there's a commitment on the part of the government to use something.
Right. And it's been a culture change for government to sit down and say, yeah, we'll work together on this. And so we've been going through that the last 5 years. And as I've said, we've made great progress doing this together.
Yeah. With regard to the wireless program, back to that real quick, transition, we only got, like 30 seconds left in this break, but what are the next steps for that? Are you moving out with any new, are you still in the sort of requirements?
They put an RFI
phase?
Up on the Better Buy Wiki, a lot of comment, as I said, even from government. And so they're right now sort of distilling all those comments and trying to figure out, okay, what is the scope of this thing really going to look like?
Okay.
And then I think the schedule is to release something as in terms of an RFP in this fall timeframe.
Okay, cool. Well, right now, Mary, we do have to take a break. When we return, we'll be talking more with Mary Davey, Assistant Commissioner for the Integrated Technology Service, and we'll be talking about some of our other contracting programs, GSA schedules, Alliant, that sort of thing. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Every day, men and women across America try to make the transition from wearing the uniform of our armed services to wearing the varied attire of the private sector or civil service workforce. The Coalition for Government Procurement tries to make that transition easier through its Wounded Veteran Training Program Fund, bringing employers and nonprofit organizations together with one united goal, putting veterans to work. There is no nobler task. Each year, the Coalition presents a golf tournament to bring employers together with organizations dedicated to placing vets in the workforce through cooperative efforts. This year, the Coalition's tournament is August 31st at Whiskey Creek Golf Course. Please consider joining the Coalition, its membership, and others for a fun day of golf, all for a great cause. For more information on playing or sponsoring this worthwhile event, visit thecgp.org or call Roger Waldron at 202-331-0975. That's August 31st at Whiskey Creek Golf Course. See you there.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
Tai Chi fighting depression. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfus with HHS HealthBeat. A westernized form of Tai Chi may help older people being treated for depression. At UCLA, Helen Levretsky saw this in a study involving 73 people ages 60 or older who had only partial benefit from drug treatment. Half took part in the Tai Chi-style physical activity, which is based on an ancient Chinese martial art, for 2 hours a week over 10 weeks. Compared to a control group, most had some improvement, and two-thirds achieved remission. So Dr. Lavretsky advises,
add simple interventions like Tai Chi or any kind of exercise that are more activating physically and mentally.
The study in the American Journal of Geriatric Psychiatry was supported by the National Institutes of Health. Learn more at hhs.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfus.
See more, do more, get more. HP Notebook PCs powered by Vision Pro technology from AMD simply deliver more. Graphics made incredible, multitasking made easy, high performance made possible. Designed with HP mobile innovations that let productivity happen anywhere, anytime. Notebooks built to handle big demands. Price so your budget can handle it. Give your agency the power of HP and AMD. To find out how, go to hp.com/go/perform.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power, Grantham University, and MetLife. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Attention all military, active duty, retired, and all authorized family members. Your Quantico Marine Corps Base Commissary is on the road and bringing your hard-earned commissary benefit directly to you. This on-site sale will take place at Fort AP Hill, August 18th and 19th. Come out and experience savings that average more than 30% on all your groceries. For more information, visit commissaries.com. And remember, your commissary, it's worth the trip.
Computers are a wonderful tool, but every day children are sexually solicited online. Protect your kids online. Visit cybertipline.com. Help delete online predators.
Hi, I'm Congressman Jerry Connolly. I want your children to be safe online. Talk with your kids about online safety. Know who is communicating with your child.
This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Profile America, Tuesday, August 2nd. The recent expensive and controversial Broadway show about Spider-Man has put the superhero back in the news. Actually, Spidey gets around pretty well for his age. It was this week in 1962 that Amazing Fantasy Comics appeared with the first story about teenager Peter Parker. Bitten by a radioactive spider, Parker finds he has superpowers and has to deal with the responsibilities that come with them. Spider-Man is one of the most commercially successful superheroes worldwide. Aside from Broadway, he has appeared on television and motion pictures while continuing in newspaper comic strips and comic books. Close to 40 new shows open on Broadway each year, drawing audiences of more than 12 million. You can find these and more facts about America from the U.S. Census Bureau online at census.gov.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, we are talking to Mary Davey, the Assistant Commissioner for the Integrated Technology Service at GSA. And Mary, let's get in the clouds here a little bit, okay?
I like
what's the weather report out there?
It's better today.
Yeah, okay, good. I know, you know, one of the big things ITS is working on is the cloud computing initiatives for, you know, the administration, OMB, you know, the OMB's 25-point IT management plan, specifically some of the initiatives there were to develop a cloud computing platform government-wide, to do software as a service government-wide, contract vehicles. Where are things going with that? What's going on over there?
It's very busy.
It's always very busy. I mean, geez, it took me forever to get you on the show.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Okay. So, yes, there is a lot going on. We're working really closely with Dave McClure's office and the Office of Citizen Services and Integrated Technology. Innovative. Sorry. Look at that. I'm so into the integrated. And it's, again, another example where we're working directly with OMB and the agencies to talk about how we're going to implement the cloud first policy and the kinds of platforms that people need to be able to meet those mandates, meet their mission requirements and things like that. So far, collectively, we have worked on two. One was the infrastructure as a service, BPAs off schedule, which we awarded 12 in three different lots. Those were awarded in, it was in May. May or June.
Okay.
I've got so many things that are.
Hey, that's okay.
Okay. They're
awarded in the spring.
Now,
right?
That's right.
Late spring.
That's what we always
summer.
Say, right? There's just categories of
right.
time.
Okay.
But the way that we decided to award this was a little bit different than what we've done traditionally. Traditionally, we'll make some awards and it's open and agencies can start using them.
In this case, we decided to do sort of a mini pilot of the FedRAMP concept, which is where agencies could take advantage of work that was done on granting the authorities to operate. So once you go through that ANA process, all agencies then would then be able to take advantage of that work that was done and wouldn't have to do their own when they went through the competitive process and made an award. That has taken us a little bit more time to get through all of the work and the documentation that goes along with that. So while it's taken us a while to go through that, and we're still going through that, in the long run, it'll do a couple things. One, it will save the agencies the time and money that they don't have to do that now. And it'll also help us pilot FedRAMP and see, okay, you know, has this worked? What were our challenges? What kinds of things might we need to change as we implement FedRAMP in the fall?
Okay.
And so today we are in the middle of evaluating many of the packages that the contractors have submitted to get their ATOs granted. And we're looking at timeframes between like literally this week and through September to get all those ATOs done and in place. Now, having said that, agencies are able to put the requirements together today against that those BPAs and start competing, and they can go through that process.
Just let me stop. For the audience, ATOs.
Oh, sorry, authority to operate.
Okay.
Which means that they've selected a vendor and a service, and all the security work around it's been done, testing controls, that kind of thing. And they've said, okay, this is a secure environment that this commercial provider has, and they can manage government data and systems.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Sorry, thank you. So the agencies are able to go through the procurement process now, go through the competitive process, and then they can go all the way up into the point of an award decision and can't actually make the award until the ATOs are granted. So, you know, if we get several ATOs completed in one of the lots, they're able to go through with that and go ahead and award. So we're encouraging agencies to get the requirements together now, and we can help them with that and to go through that competitive process so they can be ready to award once the ATOs are granted.
Okay, cool. I can say, but, you know, with regard to cloud, just from a personal experience and, you know, in my organization, we've gone to the cloud, and there is a big cost savings, that we have seen. So,
and hopefully efficiency, right?
Yeah, and efficiency, yeah. So, and flexibility, that sort of thing. So
right.
It does.
So the other one we're working on right now is the email as a service.
Okay.
That RFQ was issued in May, and we're expecting award in the fall timeframe for that one as well. We just continue to work with OMB. We're working very hard on FedRAMP so that becomes operational and up and running in October. And that will be, you know, it's a joint effort between us and DHS and NIST and a lot of agencies that are right now drafting this policy and what that's going to look like and how that will operate. So there's just a lot of work going on in the cloud space. Having said that, if you look at GSA's own email,
Right.
We used Alliant. Mm-hmm. So we used the GWAC there. And again, in ITS, we've got options for agencies to procure, whether it's the BPAs, whether it's a schedule buy, whether it's GWAC, even some things on networks can support some of the cloud offerings. So it really depends on what the agency needs at the time and how they want to buy it, kind of where they are in their life cycle, which solution would make most sense.
So what have you, it is about a $16 billion program
for IT.
When you've taken a look at it, you know, how are things going there? What have you seen?
There is so much going on in the world of schedules. You're probably aware of at least most of it. And I think I always use the word neat. People, you know, I think the neat thing is
we're
working really closely with General Supplies and Services, the other sister portfolio that does things like the MOBIS schedule and PES and
the Federal Acquisition Service, right?
And our Office of Acquisition Management. So we can become a bit more consistent in how we manage the schedules program, how we administer it, because a lot of our partner companies have schedules across many different programs, and they may have a different experience right now and how those things are awarded, negotiated, the mod process, things like that. So that's one area we're working really hard internally.
Well, just let me say about that.
Yeah.
It's a great thing to work on, because inconsistency costs money.
For you and us.
Yes, right. For both government and industry. And ultimately, the inconsistencies that industry sees and has to pay for or increases their costs, again, we go back to what happens to that. That gets built into the pricing. Ultimately, the customer pays. Ultimately, that's not good for the taxpayer. So,
right.
So you're going to tackle that one. That'd be a great
We're
one.
Tackling it.
Good.
One of my other favorite things is e-contracting, right? No more paper, sustainability, process improvement, sharing work, you know, supports telework. People, wherever they're working, they can access their work. So e-offer, e-mod has been a big push also, getting away from asking companies to submit their stuff in paper, which, you know, is costly to manage, to store. It could get lost and all kinds of things like
Mitch, that's a big cultural shift.
Yes, like, it is. But I love it. So.
Okay, good.
I'm the cheerleader. So that's another big area we're working on, is specifically in Schedule 70. We have just, we've worked with our national call center in FAS, and we've got a new help desk call center support for companies or agencies that may have a question about, you know, either their particular schedule contract or how to use this schedule. So we're working toward getting to even a tier three, very specific. I've got a specific question on my schedule, on my mod, you know, can you help me rather than just randomly calling or trying to get in touch with your specific contracting officer? Again, more visibility into the work and where things are.
Right. Now that would make, you know, things much more efficient and effective in the long term for the contractors and for GSA as well. So
we're also looking, hiring more people in outside of DC to support this program. We have over 5,000 scheduled contracts, and the workload continues to increase, which is great because people want to offer their products and services through us, but just trying to increase the staffing and so we can be more responsive.
Okay, great. And right now we do have to take a break. But when we return, we'll be talking more with Mary Davey, the Assistant Commissioner for the Integrated Technology Service, and we'll be talking more about her contracting programs and, you know, information technology in general. You're listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy?
For freedom.
Freedom of religion.
What America stands for.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy? For honor.
Everybody. And watch out for everybody.
Freedom to vote.
Democracy.
Freedom to go outside and play with my kids.
I join the Navy to serve my country.
Every freedom that we have.
The right to raise our kids in peace.
My little brother.
My wife. My kids.
Our children's children.
The United States Navy.
It's not for ourselves alone that we serve.
Here's Gus Hunt, Chief Technology Officer, CIA, on the Federal Executive Forum on Emerging Technologies, sponsored by Informatica.
It's an environment that has radically shifted how we deliver capabilities from as a reactive world to a proactive world, where we can truly be agile, responsive, and actually, as a government, deliver what has emerged in the outside world as what we call frictionless IT.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Government leaders have one thing in common. They know data is their biggest asset, but that asset is growing exponentially. Data is expected to grow by as much as 44 times over the next year to a staggering 35.2 zettabytes. Welcome to the era of big data. How will your agency effectively process the volume of data to support missions, serve citizens, and provide the right information to the right individuals? Informatica helps government agencies to move, take in, and manage their data, regardless of how much, what kind, or where it is. Visit Informatica.com. The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. CDWG, the people who get it.
Stroke is this country's third most common cause of death. The blood clots that cause it might be attacked with a technique somewhat similar to one for treating kidney stones. Targeted waves of pressure are used to destroy kidney stones, and as you can clearly see when opening a soda bottle, pressure changes also form bubbles. So Andrew Seri, a mechanical engineer at the University of California in Berkeley, thinks the blood clots causing stroke might be cleared if
we send a strong, focused pressure wave through the skull to the place where the blood clot is.
The resulting bubbles don't have to break the clot apart, but in combination with drugs,
it's about loosening up the network of the blood clot so that the drug can can penetrate more easily.
And refinements might even make the process so effective that it can be drug-free. To find out more about this and other engineering innovation stories, please go to www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on Federal News Radio at 10 a.m. Join me this week for my special guest, Glenn Holra, who is a principal with Dixon, Hughes, and Goodman, a CPA firm located in Rockville and all around the Washington, D.C. metro area. Glenn concentrates on construction and government contracting. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman. Join us on the web at ofplaw.com.
Connect with Federal News Radio wherever you are. Like us on Facebook to see the hottest news stories on your wall. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/FedNewsRadio. Download our free iPhone app. Just go to the App Store and search for Federal News Radio. And now, connect to the radio station straight from your cell phone. Just call 712-432-6616. Go to federalnewsradio.com and search for social media for details.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're talking to Mary Davey, the Assistant Commissioner for the Integrated Technology Service. And, you know, let's talk about a little bit of technology. I guess GSA is, you know, is it test driving? I don't know what the right word. This telepresence capability. What the heck is that, Mary?
Oh, it's just too cool, Roger.
Okay, well, I'd love to hear about it then.
Test driving is probably a good word. Piloting. We like to think of ourselves as the place where we do test out things that agencies can either take advantage of through us or through our contract solutions. We purchased our telepresence installation through our networks contract. It was a managed service. And it was in response to the need to decrease our travel dollars, right? So the budgets are getting, again, cut. Mm-hmm. And we still needed ways to collaborate and communicate. And we looked at different options for that. And everybody knows, you know, we've got across government all kinds of different VTC, right? Video teleconferencing
capabilities,
yeah. Right? But this was bringing us more into the 21st century. And if you have not experienced it,
that's a remarkable thing, right?
I know.
Government, right? Just kidding out there.
Okay. That's right. We are ahead.
Right. Okay.
So in GSA, we've stood up 15 locations, 5 here in DC at all of our office buildings, and then 10 around the country. And it's a way not only for GSA folks to collaborate with each other and meet rather than, you know, if I need to talk to you and you're in Boston, my goal is not to, what the end result is just, I need to talk to you. It's not, I need to get on an airplane and fly to see you. So looking at alternatives, when you're evaluating what the best way for me is to talk to you based on what we need to accomplish, I could fire up the telepresence in my office and you could fire it up in your building and we can do our meeting. It's HD VTC, if you will. There's no delay. There's none of that tiling. It's very clear, like we are sitting across the room, the way that these rooms
are constructed. I understand
the
technology is pretty amazing in terms of like it's almost like you're in the room with the person. Is that
immersive? Is the word? Yes.
Okay. Well,
it is just like we're in the room. I promise you. Furniture's all the same. The room's painted the same color. Same equipment.
Well, it's almost like you're meeting in the cloud. Then
it is. That's exactly right. We're meeting in the cloud. Well, we do kind of own the screens,
right?
But, you know.
Right.
And there's collaborative tools that go along with it, so you can do presentations. You can connect in people at multiple rooms at the same time. And we're going to be making this available to other federal agencies to use in our space and in our buildings, or give them the option, of course, to purchase their own through our contracts, and then they could even expand a network in through ours or other agency installations. So it really is another way to broaden kind of the ability to connect government.
Right. So, and you guys, how long have you been using it now?
We officially stood up in June.
Okay.
And so have been piloting quite a bit.
And you've actually done them yourself?
I have. As a matter of fact, I met through telepresence to get this thing going.
Our
contract partner, right?
Right. So you've got that technology on your networks contract. You got your GSA schedule. Let's talk a little bit about you know, your GWACs.
The GWACs.
Government-wide acquisition contracts.
Yes, and the big IT contracts that allow for complex IT solutions. You know, the Alliant contracts were based on federal enterprise architecture. And so what that really does is gives us a very broad scope in terms of IT. And those contracts have done extremely well. I believe across all of our GWACs, we've got about $7 billion in obligations since 09. So
okay,
that's 09
wow.
through June of 2011. Just looking again here at some of my numbers, 8A STARS, 3,089 orders have been issued. So that's a really popular program. And we're in the middle of recompeting that. I shouldn't say the middle, we're at the end of recompeting that and expect to make awards by the end of this month on
okay,
that program.
And 8A STARS is a GWAC that's for 8A small businesses.
8A small businesses, and there are hundreds of them on it. So again, it gives agencies an ability to very easily reach small businesses, socioeconomic disadvantaged businesses. We have our VETS GWAC, which was the veteran-owned
right.
service-disabled small business contract. And then the Alliant Small Business Contract. So.
Well, the beauty of the small business ones, right, is that, you know, the agencies get credit towards
yes.
their socioeconomic goals for all their orders.
Exactly.
So if they need to get, you know, need to increase their 8A or the veteran-owned, there's a vehicle that's
right there
that has all vets on it or all
exactly.
8As, right? Yeah. You know, I tell you, it's a $24 billion portfolio. You've got all these moving parts going on. And one thing I haven't asked you about is assisted services.
Yeah.
Because not only do you have these contracts, you also have acquisition professionals who support agencies and actually conduct procurements on their behalf. Tell us a little bit about that piece of your portfolio.
Okay, so we are working really closely with that portfolio to partner. And when I say that, if you look at what we've got in ITS, and again, you go back to, okay, you guys got a lot of contracts out there. And you look at what AAS does in terms of actually working with an agency, helping them develop requirements.
Right. And AAS is Assisted
Acquisition Services. Okay. Right. Which is the portfolio I came from.
Right.
Near and dear to my heart. It's where I grew up in GSA. So I love what they do. And
right.
And then working with an agency all the way through award and then after award project management if they need it, financial management, working as that, you know, that partner with the agency and the industry to make sure that what was signed up for in that contract is happening. So when I look at ITS and what we have to offer, I really want us to think more broadly about what FAS can provide to that customer. And it's everything from here's a contract for you to here's a fully assisted service to help you buy what you need. And so I want to make sure that we are joined at the hip with AAS so that we do things like cloud and we have FSSI wireless. That's another tool that the AAS folks have to serve those customers. I want us to be able to offer across that spectrum of acquisition support, everything from just the contract to the service.
I mean, that's great stuff. And in terms of integrating, again, you're getting back to the title of your organization.
You know it. That's, it means something for a reason.
Right. And do you have, if people want to learn more about your programs,
yep.
where should they go?
GSA.gov/ITS.
Okay.
Or they can follow me on Twitter. I tweet a lot about our stuff.
All right. And we have about a minute left, Mary.
Okay.
So I want to ask you if, you know, just now that you've been here in your 6 months and if you had one or two top priorities with all the moving parts you got going on, have you thought about what they are, or are you still trying to figure that out, or you're
just want to make
it
easy.
Like you got some, yeah.
I just want to make it easy. Really, at the end of the day, there are so many ways for people to get what they need through my portfolio, but I want to make sure that we're making it easy for them to understand what those choices are, when's the best way to use them, and how we can really help them figure that out.
Right. You know, Mary, that's a great, you know, focus, because you know what? Simplicity is a powerful thing. It can save government money, and it'll save industry money, and ultimately saves the taxpayer money. But now we've reached the end of the show, and
no.
I've got to sell more ads, so I guess people can make money. Mary, thank you for being on the show. Mary Davey is the Assistant Commissioner for the Integrated Technology Service. Thanks again for joining me.
Thank
I'm
you.
Roger Waldron, and this is Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition of Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, Tuesday mornings at 10:30 only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.